Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, getting back to Shammai and Hillel, amazing of all things. Le'olam ye'adam anaftan ki Hillel v'ayeh kaptan ki Shammai. You should always be gentle. Should always be an onav, the way Hillel was, and don't be such a kaptan. Don't be so stubborn and strong, like Shammai was. And there were two people that had experiences, and they made a bet. And the bet was, if any of us that would be able to get Hillel to get angry, the other one has to give him 400 zuz. So one of them says, okay, I take the bet, I take the challenge, I'm going to get Hillel angry. So it was Erev Shabbos, and Hillel was taking care in his shower, and he's in the middle of shampooing his head. And this guy comes banging on the door, and he says, such a chutzpah, who's the Hillel guy around here? Is there a Hillel guy around here? Not exactly the way that you would want to speak to the Nasi. So immediately Hillel puts on his bathrobe, runs out, and says to him, you must be pretty desperate with an important question. Bini, what's your problem? So he says, I've got this tremendous question. Okay, you have a question. Please ask anything you want. I never understood, why is it that all these people from Bavel, which of course was Hillel, how come they have such weird shaped heads that they look like Alfred E. Newman? So they're completely round. So how do you explain that? Oh, says Hillel. Wow, now that's a tough one. This is a very serious question. I would assume that the reason is that they have very poorly trained midwives. So because of that, they can't really deliver the child properly and they mess up the structure of his skull. Okay, so the guy goes away. Hillel goes back into the shower and he's now in the middle of shampooing. The guy waits just enough time for Hillel to get up the suds, and he comes back and bangs on the door again. Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. So Hillel puts on his bathrobe, goes out to meet the guy. My son, what's your serious problem? Oi, he says, I got this really serious question. Okay, ask, my son, ask. Why is it that the people from Tadmor, they all have these eyes that are very, very, some say Talmud, it's a question exactly how to understand the true tot. Sometimes it means they're very rounded, or they have extra lid. Oh, my love, so Shmuel, he'll assess them. Oh, that's a tough question. She'elah gedola she'alta. You know, it must be because they live between sand, and so over time, they evolved this smaller eye socket, which is rounded, in order to be able to protect their eyes from sand. Okay, guy goes away. Hillel goes back into the shower. Just as Hillel's got up the soap again, the guy comes back again, bangs on the door. Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Hillel puts on his bathrobe, goes out patiently, says to him, my son, what's your problem? He says, I got a question. Okay, ask your question. Must be very important. My question is, how come all these blacks in Africa have these feet that are so wide? You know, this is a very, very profound issue. I would suggest is that they had to evolve in marshy land. And because of that, they don't really wear shoes. And so they gradually developed wider feet. So the guy says to him, you know, the truth is I have an awful lot of these very important questions. So I don't know what to do. Shailot harbe yeshli lishol. But I'm afraid if I keep asking, you're gonna get angry, right? You're gonna get angry. So Hillel puts on his talis, he sits down, and he says to him, you know what? Everything you have to ask, I got all the time in the world for you. You have wonderful questions. So the guy says to him, are you Hillel, the one that they say is the Nasi? So again, that's a pretty disgusting kind of question to ask the Nasi. So he says, yeah, that's what they call me, Hillel. Oh, man, if that's you, I sure hope I won't meet other people like you. Why, my son? What did I do wrong? Because, damn it, you just cost me $400. So he tells him about the bet that he made. Oi, Hillel says to him, Havizahir Baruchacha. No, you got to learn to be calm, you know. Believe me, Hillel is easily worth $400 that he shouldn't get angry. You can lose all the money in the world. I ain't going to get angry no matter what you do. Ve'ilel lo yakpid. So we're up to the two dots on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. We were speaking, remember, about Shammai ve'Hillel as individuals for the first time. After we went through all of the inyonim of the way in which the Ner of Shabbos leads us to understand deeper things about the way that a human being has to see himself in the world, we also ended up finally getting back to the big issues of Shammai ve'Hillel, which are Merum Israeli and Erevin, that have to do with the nature of Briyas Ha'olam, the nature of humanity. For the first time, the Gemara introduces Shammai ve'Hillel as human beings and the way in which they acted towards other human beings and the implications that vision of oneself as a human being has for Kabbalah's HaTorah itself. And of course, the way that we learn about the nature of Kabbalah's HaTorah is always through Gerim. So whether it's in terms of Yisrael, or whether it's in terms of Rus, or whether it's in terms of understanding the Torah that is defined by Hillel and Shammai in such different ways that actually we needed a baskol and there needed to be a gezeira against following one approach. All of this is going to be expressed in the Dinim of Gerim, fascinatingly, exactly as the original Kabbalah Sefer itself was. So we start with story number one. We're going to have three stories of Gerut here. So this guy comes to Shammai and he asks him, how many Torah do you have? Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaalpeh. So he says, look, you know, I mean, I'm an intelligent person looking for a serious way of life. I must say that I'm not really persuaded that there's such a thing as the Torah Shebaal Peh, but I certainly want to follow the Torah Shebichtav. So make me a ger, amanach telamdeni Torah Shebichtav. So I'd like to only become a ger for Torah Shebichtav. Boy, Shammai was mad. Ga'arbo v'tzio ben ezifa. He made fun of him, threw him out of the house. Balifnei Hillel. So he comes and he says this little story to Hillel, and Hillel says, okay, fine, I'll make you a ger. He was megayer him. Okay, and we're going to start talking to you about the teachings that I promised to teach you. So first, you got to learn how to read. Okay, let's go through it. Aleph Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Guy comes the next morning for his lesson, and he says, okay, this thing that he had pointed to yesterday is an aleph. So now he says it backwards, like an atbash, you know. So, you know, this is the tuf, and this is the shin, and this is the resh. And the guy says, what are you doing, man? Yesterday, you said something else completely. Oh, so what do you care what I said yesterday? Lava laidi dika samachta. So basically, you're saying that in order to make sense out of reality, it's absolutely necessary to have some type of fundamental approach to things, such as what does letter A mean? What does letter B mean? Well, if you're going to rely on that, then rely on the fundamental approach of what these words mean in the Torah that I'm going to be teaching you, because they sure as heck don't mean anything at all if all that you have is text and you can do whatever you want with it. So the Alpeh Nami Smokhalai. Maisa number two. Another guy comes to Shammai and he says, look, I want you to be Megayer me with the understanding that you can teach me the entire Torah as I stand on one foot. I understand that you guys, you spend your whole life on this and so on, but I mean, there's got to be some fundamental way of looking at it that I'll understand, and then we can build on that fundamental. Takes Shammai, his Amata Binyan. Of course, having an Amata Binyan is precisely what Shammai would have. You have to remember that the word Shammai means how do you say it in English? An assessor of Shammai in modern Hebrew?
An appraiser.
Yes. Shammai is an appraiser. So basically, what's he carrying around? He's carrying around his little laser measuring thing and his, all the things that he needs to do an appraisal. So Shammai is holding his ruler, measuring things all the time. Of course, that's why he's called Shammai. Everything had to be in terms of the Midas Hadin, getting things absolutely straight, and it has to measure up, as we say in English. So the guy measures up, fine. And if not, he takes the ruler and starts smacking across the head and throws him out of the house because he fails to measure up. So God comes to Hillel. He says, okay, same thing. He says, Hillel, fine, no problem. All right, you ready? Stand on one foot. Okay, here's the deal. Da alach sineh lechavrecha lo ta'avid. Okay, here's kol ha'tarah kula. Whatever is to you hateful, don't do to anybody else. This is kol ha'tarah kula. The rest, you got a lot of lifetime of learning. It's pirush zil gemur. Rashi's pshat, of course, wonderful pshat, is that this means that the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a relationship to your best friend. When you have about this, of course, is the whole story of Rut, in which the Chazal understand that in the discussion between Naomi and Rut, there was kol ha'tarah kula in the sense of I'm accepting this, I'm accepting that. So absurdly, when she says, wherever you go, I go. That has to do with the Tchum of Shabbos. You can only walk 2,000 amos in Shabbos. Wherever you die, I die. That has to do with the din of Chiyuvei Misa. V'shoma Kaver has to do with the fact that if somebody's chayiv in Beis Din, so they put him in a special a kever. I mean, crazy things. Unless exactly that's the point that Hillel's bringing out. When you're basically have a love relationship, the details are not the issue. You spend a lifetime learning the details. But the fundamental relationship of Torah is that we're in this together. So now you want to know whether I like to sleep with the windows open, you like to sleep with the windows closed. No, we'll work that out. And this is basically kol ha'tarah kula. And then there was the third ma'aseh. There was this very choshev goy, and he's walking behind Zilberman's, walking behind this Beit Midrash, and he hears a teacher telling the kids in school, and he's teaching them the parsha of the Big Day Kuna. He said, wow, that sounds hot. Halalulami. So they said to him, this is the Kohen Gadol. He gets to wear this. He said, now that is something that I could get into. Because I always sensed that I was a person with tremendous, tremendous presence. Comes to Shammai and he says, okay, I'm ready to become a ger with the condition that you make me into the Kohen Gadol. And once again, he takes the ruler and he starts beating him up. The guy runs out, comes to Hillel, says the same thing, and Hillel is Megayer. So Hillel says, okay, but obviously, I mean, you can't become a Kohen Gadol anymore. You could become a king without getting a couple years of course in how it is that a king has to act and what it is that he has to know. And now let's get to work. So first go, Lumot Tachzitzei Malchut, take a course in how to be a king. And then, fine, you could be the Kohen Gadol. So, first of all, go through Tanakh, come back when you finish. So the guy starts learning, and he gets to the Pasuk of Azar HaKarev Yumat. So he comes back to Hillel and says, who exactly is a Zar? Amalei, anybody who's not a Kohen, who's a son of Aaron, even if he's David Melech Yisrael, Azar HaKarev Yumat. So the Ger says to himself, a Kavachomer, I already learned the psukim that show that Yisrael are called Bonim Nemoka, umitoch Ava she'aveim karalem bni bechori Yisrael, and nonetheless he's ready to say on them Azara karev yumat. What am I crazy? Ger akal shebab maklob tarmilo. I'm lucky to be accepted. What, I got a little backpack and a staff. Alachat kamavikama. It's insane. What was I thinking? He goes back to Shammai and he says, "What kind of nonsense? Am I right to be a Kohen Gadol that we have to get into a fight about whether I should be a Kohen Gadol? All you needed to do was make me understand what we're talking about. Aloktiba Torah Zorak Rev Yumat. Balif Ne Hillel. He said, ah, Hillel, what can I thank you? I can't thank you enough. Anavtan Hillel. Yonuchu Lucha Brochot Aroshkashi Karvtani. Tachat Kanfei Ashkina. One day it happened that these three Geirim were on the road. They bumped into each other, sitting around in a pub and talking about this. And they realized together that kapdunuto shel Shammai bikshal tordenu min ha'olam and anavtanato shel Hillel karvenu lefnei hashchina. So these were the personal approaches, whether it was begeder midas hadin and measuring up, or whether the entire sense of a creation, according to Hillel, is learning to measure up. Omer Ish Lakish, you know, most of the time we feel that our lives have been wasted. You know, what was all of this nonsense that I used to think and that I believed and that I spent my life working on? What a total insane waste. And by the time you really understand anything, that's the time that you're ready to die. What's the point? I haven't even gotten started yet. But this is the whole point, basically, according to Hillel. The whole point is that you're in a kindergarten and you're basically learning to be human. Those aren't mistakes. Those are what it takes to become human. And that's the it's a developmental stage after stage process in which ultimately the person learns. And this is the getter that Hillel viewed in his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his relationship to Torah, and his relationship to the world as a whole. Omer Eish Lakish, what exactly is the meaning of that pasuk? This pasuk, of course, is the getter of the entire structure of Mishnah. So now, this is going to, on the surface, be nogea, not stam, the structure of Torah. It is nogea, the idea that we finished before we got to the discussion of Hillel v'Shammai, and that was Yirat Shammai. So we were talking about kol olam kulo l'nivra l'bishvil zeh, l'nivra l'tzeves l'zeh, u'shoko zeh k'neged kol olam kuloi. Getting back to that theme, says Reish Lakish, when it says over here that the emuna of the times of your life and the power that you have to be saved is both knowledge and wisdom. So, and then it ends, v'yiras Hashem yi'otzoro. But what does that mean? So on the surface, we understand it as different elements of life. Emunah. What is the emunah? Your faithfulness to something. That's a reference to Seder Zroyim, as we talked about in Brochas, because that is your basic stance vis-a-vis the world and the way that you trust in the natural order. Itecha obviously refers to the times of your life. That's Seder Moed. Chosen, it means an heir, and that refers to Seder Noshim, which is the investment in a future. Yeshuot is Seder Nezikin, because that's the way to save yourself from making the kind of mistakes that are going to cost big. Chochmat refers to Kachim, and Das, as we were referring to all throughout the first parak here in Shabbos, is a reference to Seder Taarot. But nonetheless, you may have all of those things, says Reish Lakish. V'afilo achi, the only thing that's going to matter in the end, the last words of the pasuk, Yirat Hashem hi otzaro. The only thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is storing is not the Shisha Siddurim and knowing all of Shas, but in the level of your connection to reality, which is measured by Yiras Hashem, which is Re'iyah, of course, to be able to see things as they are. Omar Rava, there's another way to see those six stages, and that is that they are fundamental questions about what you're using your life for. A person who has his final din in the Shamayim. So the Bez Din asks him, Emunas, Nasata v'natata be'emuna, did you deal with money in faithfulness? And then Itecha, Kavata itim l'Torah, all the things that you were doing, but was Torah the kviyas of your life? Chosen, Asakta pipirya v'rivya. And then Yeshua's, Tzipita l'Yeshua, were you looking, at all times, you were looking forward to Yeshua? You want to see, gentlemen, the nature of Yeshua and what Tzipita l'Yeshua means? You see around you the incredible Mesiras Nefesh that people have. I desperately need a minion, right? I need that minion. So we're going to make a minion off of our porches. I'm going to sneak out to a minion, even if it means I get arrested. We'll have the minyanim in the backyard. You know, that little video that they were going around. This guy, you know, standing on a corner looking like he's selling drugs. Someone rolls down the window, holds out a $100 bill. Psst, comes on over, hands him the $100. Okay, the minion is downstairs at Joe's Place, 112 Park Avenue. You know, this is like the incredible desperation that we have. The minion is only there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants there to be a Migdash Ma'at for Tfilas to take the place of the Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, right? So, Keneged, Tiknum. Did you ever see anybody feeling that kind of desperation? Oh my God, I don't have a base of Mikdash. I don't have a base. No, we're only interested in the minyan. So if you're talking about Tzipita le Yeshua, it should be with exactly that same kind of question. You hold out the $100 bill. You say, how do I get to the base of Mikdash? That's what interests me. So if you have that Tzipita le Yeshua, that's that next question. How about Chochmah v'Da'as? Pilpalta b'Chochmah? Were you working out using your brains? And did you achieve Evanta Davar Mitoch Davar? Were you able to break out on your own and to do discoveries? And even if you did all of this, the one thing the Beis Din wants to know is, Yirat Hashem Yotzaro, fine. But Ilolo, if not, you're messed up, man. Mashallah Adam Shamar L'Shlucho, a guy says, bring me up a ton of wheat and put it in the attic so that we can have it over the year. So the guy goes and he delivers it. So then the Baal HaBayis, before he pays, he says, I'm assuming that you mix the Kaf of Chumton into it as a preservant, which is a type of preservative. It's a salty kind of soil. And the guy said, no, you didn't order that. So then he said, so then you shouldn't have brought it up, you idiot. Mutavim lo ya'aleita, you should never brought it up there in the beginning. What kind of waste of time is that? I can throw out my money. And the same thing is true over here. A guy spends his whole life on getting to all of this madrega, Ivanta Davar Mitoch Davar, is off. Famous man, brilliant thinker, and a total idiot because it would have been better if he had never brought it up in the first place. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. This also has a halacha in business practice because this means that it's a given that you are allowed to mix in into the sale of tefuah. You're supposed to put at least one kav of chumtun per kor of tefuah and charge for it as if it's tefuah, even though it's obviously junk compared to the tefuah, but eino choshesh, because that's the given. The tefuah is worthless without it. Omar Rabba Baravuna kol adam sheyesh bo Torah. Now we're talking about the interrelationship of understanding. He has Torah, but he doesn't have Yirat Shamayim. So what's that like? It's like a gizbar. Who is the guy that has everything under his hands? And they give him the keys to the safe. The problem is they never gave him the keys to get into the house to be able to get to the safe. So he's got the inside keys, but he doesn't have the outside keys. So how's he supposed to get there? So there's no way to get into the world to have any connection to all of the things that you understand if you don't have that Yirat Shamayim. Rabbi Yanai said, what a shame. All of these people, they make this brilliant gate to get into a gorgeous chutzner, but they didn't bother making the chutzner. All they did was make the gate, so they have an entryway. Now, this appears to be the opposite, in which the outside is the Yirat Shamayim. Before we said that the way to get to the safe would be to have the outer keys, and he doesn't have the outer keys. Over here, it's saying you have the outer keys, you have the gate, but you don't have anything to go into. So obviously, we're talking about two completely different dargas of Yira, as we see in the Seder of Rav Pinchas ben Yair and in the Halacha about whether the Yira comes before Ahava or after Ahava. Omer Rav Yehuda lo barak HaKadosh Baruch Hu et olamo ela kidei shiyiru milefanav. The whole point of the world, of Bria, is in order that people should finally reach a moment of understanding, Elohim asah shiyiru milefanav, of what this incredible creation really is. Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Elazar were once sitting and learning together, and Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha was walking near, and one of them says to the other one, oh, we should stand up for this guy. This guy is a guy who has Yiras Chet. And the other one says to him, we should get up for this guy. This guy is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So the first one says to him, what the heck is wrong with you? I just said to you that this is a man we should stand up for because he has Yiras Chet, and you're telling me we should stand up because he's a Talmud Chacham? I told you something serious to stand up for. So which one was which? Tistayim de Rabbi Elazar de Amr de Gavar de Gchel Chata'in. Because Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Elazar as saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing in the world besides Yirat Shamayim. Shenem Rabbi Atah Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokech Hashem Mimach Ki Im Lir Amil Afanav. There's only one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately asks of you. Uchtiv Vayomer LaAdam Hein Yirat Hashem Yi Chochma. What does ein mean? It's similar, if you pronounce it the way Israelis do, it's similar to the Greek unos. There's only one universal. And that is Shekein Balashin Yavani Korin Lachat Hein. The only universal reality is Yirat Hashem. That's the ultimate Chochmah. So you see that it's Rebbe Elazar who says that Yira is the most important thing. So he must have been the one who said the first statement, let's get up for Rebacha, because he's a Yorei Chet Tistayem. Indeed, it must have been him. Anyway, we spoke about Kohelet, and we're still thinking about the contradictions in Sefer Kohelet. So Darash Ravula, my dichtiv, I mean, it's a crazy statement for Shlomo HaMelech to say, Al Tirsha Harbe. Don't be too much of a Russia. Okay, fine. I won't be too much of a Russia. I'll just be a little bit of a Russia. What kind of statement is that? Harbe Udelo Lirsha? Ma'at Lirsha? I said, yeah, you could be a little bit of a Russia. Just don't overdo it, you know? That's one of the things that was a little bit problematic with Shlomo's words. Ella, what this means is just because you did something terribly wrong. So therefore, now it's time to give up. And Tisha Harbe, okay, I'm screwed anyway. So what the heck? Let me be Marshia totally, right? Yeah, that's like saying somebody who had some garlic and now he stinks. So his solution is to continue eating garlic all the time. So now eat more garlic. I mean, that's not the solution, actually. You could try some toothpaste. That's a solution. Dorash Rava Baravula. When it says, so over here, it's talking about the way in which a Rasha faces death or looks at life with death at the end. They don't have any chartzuvot. Chartzuvot being something that binds them. They don't have any chartzuvot, and they're as strong as could possibly be. They're feeling great about life. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not bad enough that Rishaim, we're learning chartzuvot as being charedim va'atsevim. They don't have any fear. They're not miserable about dying. On the contrary, libam borilam kulam. They feel like, wow, this is it. We're having a ball. This is a great time. Yeah, but I mean, like tomorrow you're in the grave. Who cares? Meanwhile, live and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. Ha'inu d'yomar rabba, my dechtiv, zeh darkam kesel lama, that this is their path, right? And this is talking about Misa. So they know, yodim reshaim shedarkam lamisa. This is their path, this is fine. And yet it makes no difference to them. Yeshlam chelev al kislam, they have so much fat surrounding them, that they completely don't see the reality of their own life. Shema Tomar Shikhaimiyam. So you could say, okay, you can't blame them, you know. Basically, they only see what's right in front of them. They're not aware of the fact that life is fleeting and that it means something. No. The pasuk continues, Yirtzusela. They say, tomorrow we may die, let's enjoy it. They talk about, you know, it's not a problem, it's over, it's fine. You know, I had a great time. Getting back to the Mishnah. How do we understand the closing of the Mishnah? So the Mishnah talks about that if, according to the Tanakhama, you put out the lamp, and the reason you put it out was to actually to save the body of the lamp that it shouldn't get wrecked, or to save the oil, or to save the wick. So in all of these cases, you would be chayiv. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, only case you're chayiv is in the case of the wick, because mipnei shehu oseh pecham, and that's simply because he is making a charred tip for the wick, which makes it easier to light. Now, Rabbi Yossi doesn't make much sense. I mean, because the reason that the Tanakhama over here says that you would be chayiv is because obviously he holds that even though it's a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa, I'm putting the candle out because I don't want it to be on. But I'm not out here to achieve anything by putting it out. That's the ultimate malachah in tzricha legufa. It's not a positive act, it's a negative act. So he holds that doesn't make any difference, because even a malachah in a tzricha legufa is nonetheless chayiv. So it was going early to Rabbi Yehuda. So what does Rabbi Yossi hold? If Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then he should be mechayiv on all of them. And if he holds of Rabbi Shimon, why is the thing about making the wick? Why in that case would he be chayiv? So Rabbi Yossi commands svirale, if he holds Rabbi Yehuda, so then what about the other cases? Not the wick. Why wouldn't he be chayiv for saving the oil? And if he holds Rabbi Shimon, What's the difference if he goes ahead and he makes charcoal on the wick? The point is that that's not, he put it out for some other purpose, that the charcoal. So what exactly is the idea? He didn't do it. Okay. So that means it just to save the wick doesn't matter. Omar Ula, actually, he does hold the Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi does hold the Rabbi Yehuda, except Rabbi Yossi holds that there's another problem over here. The other problem is that the malacha of putting something out is much more than a problem of just being concerned with what's the purpose of putting it out. It's not only not a malacha, it's basically an anti-malacha, because it's the equivalent of taking something apart, of undoing a constructive act. So the creation of fire, that is something that is a very meaningful addition to the state of affairs. Putting out a fire doesn't achieve anything. It just makes things less specific, so that there's not a center of energy that we call a fire. It would be the equivalent of taking a house apart. Are you chayev for taking a house apart? Actually, you are. But why? Because the Mishkan, after all, is the source of all of the dinim of the Malachas, and the Mishkan needed to be taken apart. That was this week's parsha, right? So we're going to have these Yimei Amiluyim, and every time the Mishkan moves, we're going to be taking it apart and then traveling, and therefore you are chayev for soter. So this is really what's called a mikalkel. Put this down in your list of munachim. A mikalkel is an anti-malacha. It's ruining things rather than making things better. So the problem is that Rabbi Yossi has a very special understanding of the nature of the malacha of soter. And he says, soter is only considered to be a valuable act if the reason that you're being soter is because you want to use these materials to build a better building on the same spot that you've got this old broken down building. But if you're just being soter in order to achieve the materials that you need, as far as this particular act is concerned, that is not considered to be constructive. The constructive element comes only when you take it somewhere else and you use it or you sell it or what. That has nothing to do with what I'm doing now. And therefore, unless I intend to build something right here with this material, I am not going to be chayev. So soter amanat livnot b'mekomo is considered to be soter amanat livnot somewhere else. It's not considered to be soter. Now, the place of the fire is the wick that allows this fire to take up that shemen and to be in this place. So the place of the fire, the local place of the fire, is the wick. So if what you're doing is trying to save your lamp for somewhere else, or trying to save your oil, even if you're not going to move it, that's somewhere else, because you'll have a different petilah. So therefore, it's a mekalkel, and it's not considered to be a malacha at all. That's the problem. Omar le Rabba. So Rabba said to Ula, look, that doesn't make any sense, because the plates that we learn out the din of Sosa is from the Mishkan, right? And over there, the Mishkan, we took it apart in order to build it somewhere else. So therefore, the actual primal soter is soter shalo livnot b'mekomo. Omar Le said, Ula, that's completely different. Why? Because the Mishkan is the place. It's not that it's in a place. And that's the idea, that it's defined not by where you're going. I'm not going anywhere. It's al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yiso. And therefore, I am ready to build the Mishkan again. As far as where it is none of my business and not part of my kavana. It's always the equivalent of kisoter amanat livnot b'mekomo dami. And therefore, it's the one place where moving to a different place is still preserving the same place. Rabbi Yochanan says, I have a very different understanding of Rabbi Yossi, totally different. I think the idea is that actually Rabbi Yossi patters in the opening cases of the Shemen and of the Ner, because he holds like Rabbi Shimon, that a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is in fact patter. The reason that the case of the petila is chayev is, as Rav Amnuna, or some say it was Rada Bar Ava, say, that that's a special case because we're talking about a wick that had never been singed before, like the case that we had in the Mishnah earlier. So we're talking about a ptila that requires hivhuv. And in that case, even Rabbi Shimon is made that that is considered to be a malach hatzricha legufa. Why? Because he's being mitakein this wick. And therefore, what I'm doing over here is doing something that is the primary issue in the malacha. Amar Rava, you can see this. Read the Mishnah clearly. You'll see what it says. Diktani, it says in the Mishnah, Mipnei shehu oseh pacham. It doesn't say because it becomes, it was pacham, and there was charcoal there, and the charcoal is happening. So as far as Ula is concerned, it didn't need to say Mipnei shehu oseh pacham. It's only where Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, is the point over here that we're talking about a malacha atzricha legufa. That's why Rabbi Yossi said that would be the only case that you would be chayev shma mina, that Rabbi Yochanan's approach is the correct approach.